It's Thursday morning, the 14th of December, and I'm going to share with you this morning the interview that I did with Emmanuel Refmatas while I was still in Nigeria. The audio is not fantastically clear. We did the recording in his office, so there's quite a bit of echo. So please do understand, but enjoy it. I think he's got some great nuggets around business leadership and things that can certainly help and give direction in your life. I found it quite a good conversation to have with him. Probably have him on another episode of the podcast in the future just to find out how things are going with his plans for 2018. But enjoy this one.
Great. So today I've been promising you guys for a while that I was going to bring you an interesting interview and a discussion. And today I have Emmanuel Revmatas with me. We're going to be chatting a little bit about his experience. He has a long career in many different companies and experiences. But let me rather get Emmanuel to share with us his experience and some background so that you can get to know a little bit more about him. How are you doing, Emmanuel?
Great, Tristan. I mean, good to talk to you. I'm not too sure how interesting this is going to be, but let's see how it goes.
I think it'll be very interesting. I've had the pleasure and opportunity of working with you for a bit, and it's I've always found myself learning new things and finding very interesting stuff. You're a well-traveled person. You've had experience in different companies and doing different things in different technology sectors. So I think there's a lot for people to learn, and particularly for the audience that I have, as small as it might be. It definitely, I think, is something that would quite interest people quite a bit. My first question to you is around leadership in particular, because obviously, having worked with you and having admired your team that you had here, working in Nigeria for a while, I've been quite struck by the leadership style that you have, and I know in particular the team that you've with at the moment. You've kind of had this Spartan theme around the leadership and the team. Where did that stem from? What is your leadership style?
So perhaps before I answer that question, I mean, I should maybe just put it into context. I have heritage that has some Greek blood in it. My father was born on a very small island in the eastern Aegean Sea called Samos, and my mother is of Dutch descent, but we of course grew up in South Africa. But I think that influenced me in some ways. So, Greek philosophy has always been a great interest of mine, and is probably the basis of my most important motto in life, which is, "Unto thine own self be true." I think a lot of what I have done, or try to do, or try to instill in others is around that. Try to always be who you are. Not always easy, as you know.
Yes.
Because of course we face a number of societal pressures, we face a number of pressures within the corporate world, but yes, try and remain true to yourself, and that's really the basis of my leadership style, which, to be honest, has evolved. It's evolved as I've been fortunate enough to travel around the world. My family and I have lived in about 7 countries. I've done business in about 25, and my kids keep count of how many countries I've managed to visit, which is about 55. So I and the rest of my family have been quite privileged, to have had these experiences. And I think those experiences are the basis of a lot of my leadership style. It's given us the opportunity to work within multicultural environments, different languages, different religions. And of course, all of those really, I think, help you as a person develop and grow yourself. And in that way, hopefully, develop a style that you think is best. There is no such thing as the best leadership style. I think, of course, it's a little bit like parenting. You do your best, there's a little bit of trial and error along the way, and time, quite honestly, helps. So, to answer your question, why the Spartan theme? Well, of course, there are some Greek roots. As I said, my home in Greece, because we really split ourselves between South Africa and Greece. Our home in Greece is on the Peloponnese, which is in fact the chunk of land west of Athens, and in fact a piece of land that was home to Mycenae and Sparta. And more importantly, it's interesting that when you look at the history of Greece, the ancient history of Greece, the Spartans were a formidable society. And not only from a warring perspective, but more importantly, just in terms of having quite a complex and quite an advanced way of living in those days. Okay. Women had a lot more say. They played very important roles, even during the times of ancient Greece. And of course, the Spartans also became synonymous with many of the things that even today we still use. The phalanx formation was really started by the Spartans, and it became a formidable tool to basically ensure that you or your team really stayed close and protected yourself in a 360 degree way. So the Spartans, of course, I think represent many of the things that I believe are important. I spent a few years in the military, so perhaps that has some influence. And then, without getting into too much history, there's of course the great story of, you know, the Battle of Thermopylae, where, you know, 300 Spartans defended Sparta. Ironically, they all died in the end. So perhaps that's not a story we should spend too much time on. But the principle is that a small group of people, like a small team, can be a formidable force if they simply meld together. If they work together under, you know, great leadership, they understand that the strength is in their unity. And so many of the principles I try and apply in my teams is around that.
Okay. Fantastic. So, it was your view then that you do you believe the theory that you're either a natural born leader, or can those skills be developed and maintained? Like,
yeah, look, yeah, this is an age old question. I mean, I'm not too sure what the answer is. I'm inclined to think that there are some people that may have a personality type that lends itself towards leadership. But having said that, I think maybe people that have some natural leadership style are able to evolve it with practice, okay, with training, with learning, with reading. So I think it's a combination of both, to be honest. I think that that might sound like a cop-out, but I think it is a combination of both.
Okay. Recently, I remember having a discussion where you kind of gave some advice to people about making sure that you're not being a victim. And some of that kind of really struck home with me. Kind of, how do you... how would you share that again to another audience? You know, about how do we protect ourselves from not being the victim? Why did you think that that's such a critical thing to highlight to people?
So I mean, there's a very well known, and it's not new. In fact, it's been around for a long time. The circle of influence and the circle of control, and of course, you know, many management theorists have said that for most of us, the challenge always is focusing our energy, our time, and our effort on the things that we can control. And in some ways, just allowing those things that are beyond our control or influence not to, you know, consume us. It's easier said than done. I mean, we all know that, you know, in the heated moment, of course, you know, anxiety, stress, you know, can of course affect us, and we often end up spending a lot of wasted time trying to change something that we have no control over. So that's one of the thoughts that I always try and remind myself. And in fact, many years ago, one of my own bosses who I thought was an inspirational leader, and it's something of course that I also try and strive to be, this principle of inspiring others. He at the time reminded me on a continuous basis, focus your energy on those things that you can control. So that's one thing. The second thing is that, you know, the analogy between business and sport has been made by many. And of course, you are either a player or a spectator. And again, I think those kind of principles ring true in my own head on a regular basis as well. If I'm going to stand on the sidelines and I'm going to allow the game to play out, and that game in some way impacts me, and I haven't decided to get onto the field, then I have become a victim. I've allowed myself to basically be influenced by things that I could have influenced. So I've always tried to say to my team, you know, proactivity, getting directly involved in whatever way, at least allows you to feel like a player rather than a bystander. Yes, you may not be able to control many things, but if you get involved in the game, when there is a result, and if that result unfortunately is negative, at least you can feel that you had some role to play and that you tried to, in fact, at least to change the circumstances, rather than, as I always say, or as you've heard me say, you know, become a victim, where you stand and you complain about what has happened, and yet you made no effort to try and change it.
Great. I appreciate that. So one other thing I wanted to discuss with you was around Africa. You've worked in different countries in Africa. I know you were in Kenya before you were in Nigeria. You've worked in Nigeria more than once.
Mm-hmm.
So I think something that kind of interests listeners a bit is, and it's something I try and hit home quite often when I talk about different subjects, including technology, and that is that we kind of get locked in our own bubble, and we think that, you know, technology is very US or Eurocentric. It's not really always catering to emerging markets like Africa. What are some of the lessons you've learned working in Africa? And maybe what do you think are the opportunities for Africa from a business and a technology perspective? What do you think are the things that Africa, that people should learn before going into markets like Africa, but also maybe things that people in Africa, entrepreneurs in that, could take away as things to consider when they move forward from listening to this discussion?
Yeah, I mean, as I said early on, I mean, I've been fortunate enough, you know, and privileged enough to work in several parts of the world, and also live in several parts of the world. A lot of places in the Middle East, but as you mentioned, in particular, several parts of Africa. I mean, East Africa, Central Africa, West Africa, and of course, Southern Africa. My first comment would be that simply saying Africa is maybe the greatest mistake we can all make. Even though it may be one continent, my experience is that it is several continents in one. If you go to East Africa is, in my opinion, significantly different to West, and of course different to South. In fact, I always joke with my South African colleagues when they ask me how is Africa, that they should just maybe remind themselves occasionally that they're actually part of the same continent. I mean, it always fascinates me how South Africans say, oh, how is Africa, Emmanuel? Hello? You're part of the same continent. But I think, if anything, it highlights how different South Africa is to the rest of Africa. And then, of course, if you go up north, you know, into Northern Africa, for many, they don't believe that they're really part of Africa either. Mm. Of course, you know, that the religion changes, the culture changes quite dramatically, and in many cases, you know, the countries like Morocco and Tunisia and Egypt, etc., often find themselves being more aligned maybe with the Middle East, or in some cases even parts of Europe. Okay. So, first thing is, of course, I think take some time to understand the intricacies of different regions within the continent of Africa. And then secondly, even within the same region, so let's say West Africa, if you have a look at a Cameroon or Ghana or Nigeria or Senegal, they're vastly different as well. In fact, right next door to us in Nigeria, well, almost next door to us is Ghana. Yes, there's Togo and Benin in between, but Ghana and Nigeria, many people would, you know, probably regard as being the same. And yet, I think they're vastly different. If you talk to the people or look at even, you know, the country and the economies of those countries. So, I think insight, making time to gain insight into the countries, the regions, is critical. I think in many cases, many companies you know, believe that emerging markets, whether it is Africa or South America, you know, offer these kind of get-rich-quick opportunities. I think to the contrary, actually. I think in many cases, they require a lot more investment. They require a lot more time. But yes, they offer great opportunity, but you require a lot of tenacity. You know, the greatest opportunities across Africa, if you have a look at current statistics, is that one, you have a massive population. And of course, numbers always play a role. If you look at, you know, the power that India or China is gaining, it's also around population and growth and the great growth of those populations. Two, you know, you have a lot of intellectual capital and a lot of human capital that really has been untapped. So you have an opportunity to really develop, you know, hopefully, you know, invest in developing that talent and then really gaining the opportunities. Then, of course, there's the opportunities of agriculture and natural resources, which in many ways, you know, have sadly been, you know, abused by many. But again, if those can be harnessed in the future, I think we can see enormous growth. You know, I was in Nigeria, lived in Nigeria the first time in 2000, and when I came back in 2012, there had been, you know, great strides towards improvement. Yes, do they still have challenges? Of course, infrastructure and other areas like corruption, etc., remain challenges. But there's been massive strides. The key, really, I think, to go back to your, you know, your question is, how well do we understand the market? How well do we understand the cultural sensitivities? How well do we understand, you know, the cultural business principles in those countries? How well do we understand consumer buying patterns or consumer thinking? I mean, you know, having spent some time here in Nigeria as well, that if you go to three cities in Nigeria, if you go to Port Harcourt, Abuja and Lagos, and you do research on consumers' needs, they are vastly different. And that's just three cities in the same country.
Yeah.
So you take that same principle across countries, then across regions, and of course you land up with you know, an enormous number of permutations. So insight, I think, is key. And unfortunately, many people think want to short circuit that.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time. Before we go, is there any last words of advice that you would share with anybody, pearls of wisdom that you want to kind of put out there, and also where people can maybe follow you on social media or find more about you? Where should they go?
Well, I mean, advice. I think, you know, as I said, as I started by saying, I think you need to really be true to yourself. And I think it's something I'm trying to instill in my own children. You know, if you follow your passion, you know, and you understand what you are good at and what you are maybe weak at, you know, I think you can create a whole lot of opportunity for yourself. One thing that I think, you know, has really changed my life and the life of my family is that, you know, when we initially decided to go to Dubai for 1 year with the company I was at the time, we didn't realize it would end up being a 16, almost 17 year adventure. Okay. That experience for all of us, I mean, I think has changed our lives forever in a positive way. I mean, you know, our children speak multiple languages, they have a completely different outlook on life and on what the meaning of being a true multicultural third culture person is. So I invite everyone and I encourage everyone, if they're ever given the opportunity to work outside of their normal country, to grab it with both hands. Even if it's temporary, I think, you know, it will be a great learning experience. How to contact me? Of course, I'm on Facebook, and I also have a website, which is emmanuelrevmatas.com. over the next few months, you know, I'll be developing a number of programs and some ideas and sharing those, of course, with people. And hopefully, you know, we'll have the opportunity to talk again in the future.
It'll be great. Fantastic. Thank you very much. I appreciate that your time. So.
Thanks very much, Justin. Have a great day.
Cheers.
Hope you enjoyed that interview with Emmanuel Revmatas. I was re-listening to it on my way into work this morning on my commute, and I realized that it was a fantastic interview, very inspirational in terms of trying to relook at my plans for 2018. And I hope you found it enjoyable too. I know there were some breaks in the audio. The Anchor application I use for publishing my podcasts limits segments to 5 minutes, and the cuts between the segments were not as smooth as I'd hoped they would be, so that is something I'll work on improving in the future. But I hope you get a great deal of out from that interview. If you have any questions for Emmanuel, please feel free to let me know. You can find me at Tristan D. Hall on Twitter. You can also find me on Facebook and LinkedIn as well. You can also find Emmanuel on LinkedIn too. And yeah, we're going to try and get him on to have another discussion in the early part of next year. But I hope you enjoyed that, and I hope you have a great day further. Cheers.